Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is excited to announce the recipients of the 2023 Recreation and Facilities Grant. Improvements will be made at Covington Township's Tow Rope and Gabriel Chop Park in Ameek. Efforts to bring Sweettown Chalet up to ADA guidelines were funded. Plus, the CCISD's Equipment Loans of the Keweenaw Group will use funds to purchase sled hockey equipment. Community health grants provide support for activities and opportunities that promote healthy lifestyles for everyone, improving the overall health of the community. Congratulations to those who receive funding. Visit coppershores.org to learn more.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today on this Sunday morning. We're brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. Find out more about them at coppershores.org. As a matter of fact, it was at their picnic a couple of weeks ago that I ran into our state representative from the 110th District, the Republican, Greg Markkanen. He was all wet because he had been participating in the dunk tank, so he was soaking wet, and it was good to see you there, Greg. We hadn't crossed paths for a while.
No, we've been busy down in Lansing, and I found out that Berrier County has a lot of good young pitchers coming up. I was dunked many times.
Well, you were a good sport. I have to ask you, though, that's not part of your district anymore. So were you there just because you're a good sport? Or is this a hint that maybe a few years from now you might be looking at a run for a seat in a somewhat larger district?
Well, that's always a possibility, too. But, you know, I worked for 4.5 years in Berrier County over at Berrier High School. And, you know, Kevin Storrs, you know, the office asked me if I'd come over and volunteer, and I'm happy to do it.
Well, it was good of you to do that, and I know there were a lot of people who were happy to see you there. And it's been a while since we've had you on the program. One of the reasons is there's been this seismic shift in Lansing over the last few months, and I thought I'm going to hold off on inviting anybody until we kind of see what the lay of the land is going to be like in Lansing. Now, this is, and I did a little research on this.
Okay.
And I know you studied history, so you share an interest with me in this.
I do.
Since the Republican Party was founded in Michigan in the 1850s, and the first candidate that they put up for governor was elected, Kingsley Bingham, before the Civil War. Right. Since that time, there have only been 5 instances in which the entire state government was controlled by the Democratic Party. There was a 2-year stretch in the 1890s. There were 2 non-consecutive 2-year stretches during the Great Depression, corresponding with the coattails from Franklin Roosevelt's elections in 1932 and 1936. But after those 2 years, and remember the term for governor in those years was only a 2-year term.
Correct.
After those 2 years, it swung back to the Republicans in the alternate years. And then in 1982, when Jim Blanchard was elected, both houses went Democratic, but only for a short time, because there was a move by John Engler, who was at that point the Senate Republican leader, they recalled several Democrats in swing districts after a tax increase went through, and they were replaced with Republicans. So then it swung back over into a split situation. So it's since before the Civil War, the state government has been completely controlled by Democrats for only 9 years.
That's amazing.
It really is. Yeah. And it kind of puts into focus the effect that the Republican Party has had on what we have in the state of Michigan, because at all other times, it has either been all Republican or at least a split between a Republican legislature, typically, and in many cases, a Democratic governor, as we saw with Gretchen Whitmer in the first administration, and also Jim Blanchard's administration for most of it, and most of the other Democratic administrations going back into the 1950s. So how has this affected things in Lansing?
Well, it's pretty obvious to me and many of my colleagues that, you know, there isn't a lot of institutional background knowledge for leadership and leadership roles in the House and in the Senate. And that's pretty obvious in the committee assignments, how the committees are run. I think Speaker Joe Tate, who is a former Marine Corps officer, has his hands full, because there's quite a few factions in the Democratic caucus. There's an environmental caucus, environmental group, and, you know, it's hard to control. So I think the learning curve was pretty steep for them. They're coming out swinging. They've obviously passed a lot of legislation that I don't agree with. But, you know, I think they're inability to really form a coalition with any of our members is obvious because they just haven't even made the effort.
On the other hand, I can look back over the last few years at least, and I don't see a lot of coalitions that Republicans made with Democrats either.
Well, we have at least gave them, you know, a better voice in the committees. We brought up their bills. I remember I served on the majority vice chair for natural resources and energy, and we let quite a few Dem bills come through, gave them a hearing, let them testify. We haven't had that benefit this time.
So they've been kind of clamping down and shutting you out, you feel?
Yes, they have. Yeah.
And is this something that perhaps might modify a little bit? Do you see any signs now? You know, they've had their first 6 or 8 months in office. Mm-hmm. At some point, do they relax a bit, or are they going to keep this up?
Well, you know, I look for some optimism here after the first of the year. I don't think anything's going to happen from now until January. They're talking about going sine die, which means the governor will put an end to this term. I don't know if that will happen or not, but you know, a lot of the bills that they pushed through the Senate didn't get immediate effect, and so they need that 90 days to have these bills go into effect, like the red flag laws and those type of bills. So, you know, they're not communicating with us. They're not sharing, you know, the near future with us, the plans for the House and Senate. So we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, the one in particular, I know that they're concerned about the bill that was passed, affects the Michigan primary.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not get enough votes to be given immediate effect. So
right.
They want to move it in 2024. They want to move it up. If they can't get out of the legislative session 90 days prior to that, then it doesn't happen.
Right.
So that was when that first came up, as I recall, when they passed that and said, oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, we're going to have to get out of here by, what, early November, I would suspect.
Yeah, early November, October, they're talking. So it's hard to say what's going to happen. They did get immediate effect from the Senate Dems or Senate Republicans for the budget. But, you know, there was some wheeling and dealing there. So
the budget, you've been critical of that. You
yes.
have said that it is too big. How big is it now, and how big should it be?
Well, you know, it's $83 billion. Of that $83 billion, not counting the per pupil funding, only about $15 million of that came back to the UP, and we didn't get any road or infrastructure money. I think that if you took, and our communications department took a look at the budget, and if we took out all the pet projects like the cricket field for $1 million in Troy, if we took all that out, we could have added another $1,400 per pupil for K-12 education across the state. That's where we'd like to see the money go.
Those kind of pork projects, pretty typical. And we've seen them on both sides over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Are they essential? This was something we saw at the national level,
right,
where we saw they eliminated a lot of that mm-hmm. in the U.S. Congress. And all of a sudden, people didn't have the chips to wheel and deal to get bills passed anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily like to see the way that government is made. But sometimes, unfortunately, you do need to buy somebody's vote for what you want by giving them something like that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Todd, because last term, our appropriations chairman actually resigned over a disagreement with leaving $10 billion in the budget for this next term. And, you know, the Democrats have burned up all of that $10 billion surplus, which we felt should go to infrastructure, roads and bridges across the state, and actually pay off some of the state debt, which would increase the state's ability to feed into revenue sharing a little bit more than they have already. You know, that small communities across the UP really depend on revenue sharing, but they chose not to do that.
Talking with State Representative Greg Markkinen, the Republican representing the 110th District in Lansing, we have been flush with cash
mm-hmm.
at the state level for the last few years, something we did not expect when we were talking about this 3 or 4 years ago as the pandemic began to come in. We were looking at dire, huge cuts, revenue losses, and between the lack of some of that effect and the federal government money that came in, we are flush with cash. Should we be saving some of that cash?
I believe that we should be saving some of it, and we should be paying off a lot of the state debt. We've been here before, I believe, during the Granholm administration. The governor and her administration are starting these programs that we can't sustain because we're not going to have this federal cash over, you know, next year or the year after. How do we sustain these new programs? Well, raising taxes, and nobody wants taxes raised. So, you know, it paying off the state debt would have been nice. Saving some money would have been nice, too.
Because we have seen Michigan's economic cycle over the years. I mean, I'm in my fifth or sixth decade covering state government. I'm very old.
You are.
At this point. But, but, you know, we've seen this time and again. A national recession gives Michigan pneumonia. Mm-hmm. The nation gets a cold. Michigan gets pneumonia because people stop buying cars. And that shuts down revenue into the state government. And all of a sudden, we have to make drastic cuts. And then finally, the economy gets better. And all of a sudden, in comes the cash again. But we go through this feast and famine cycle. How much money should we be saving during a feast cycle? Because we know there's a famine coming at some point.
Well, you know, with that $10 billion, a lot of us would like to see about 40% of it to use to pay off state debt. A lot of people aren't aware of the fact that Michigan has a lot of state debt. We could have probably saved about 30% of what was left and used another 30% for roads and infrastructure. We have bridges up here in Houghton County that were built during a Depression era in the 30s that need to be replaced. And, you know, that's a top priority of mine, and not a cricket field in Troy for $1 million. So,
let's talk about transportation, because this has been something that's been bubbling under in Lansing for probably the last 10 years or so. And I don't think you and I have ever had the conversation.
No.
But I have talked with Ed McBroom about it several times. He's been trying to push this. Mm-hmm. The way that we fund our roads is going to have to change. At this point, road funding comes primarily from the gas tax. Mm-hmm. And people who are driving electric vehicles ain't paying no gas tax. And with the push to further electrify the transportation system, something's going to have to change. And now I'm seeing that there are more discussions in Lansing about this. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing?
Well, there's I think everything is on the table. Obviously, the Democrats have control of the House and Senate. But, you know, miles used per year, per month, I think, you know, we're going to have to work out. There's a lot of stakeholders in this, on these bills and this effort. So miles, you know, the miles that you drive per year, it's going to be a complex, you know, this is untouched territory, so to speak. So.
Yeah, we're going to have to break some new ground here. And it's going to be, unfortunately, perceived by some, at least, as a tax increase. Because there are people right now who are driving electric vehicles, people who are driving hybrids that use very little gasoline, that aren't being charged a lot. They're going to be looking at this as a tax increase.
Oh, that's a possibility. And, of course, our economy across the Upper Peninsula is a lot of people, you know, drive trucks. The trucking industry is important. Of course, the logging industry is important. You know, they need to drive those log trucks to the mill and to the and to the plant. So, you know, there's going to have to be some exceptions to this gas tax. I like what Wisconsin does. 100% of the gas tax goes to the roads and infrastructure, where ours goes to three different places. I don't know how we can do that with electric vehicles. So, I mean, we're funding not only education, but the general fund and then the roads and infrastructure. So there's going to be a lot of discussion, Todd.
Well, and some of that still goes to mass transportation programs, particularly Southeast Michigan, some of those areas. I don't know if any of it trickles up here to Houghton and Hancock and their transport systems. I wouldn't think it's a lot.
Well, just with the community transport, with the buses in town, I think they get grants.
Yeah. So some of that comes up this direction, but it's going to be interesting and a shock to drivers.
Oh, yes.
Depending on how this is going to be assessed, because the most logical way to do it, I suppose, would be to have everybody self-report their mileage when you renew your driver's license.
Yeah.
And that's going to have to be done on a yearly basis. And all of a sudden, if you've driven 25,000 miles in the last year, you're going to have to write a big check.
Yeah. I think I drove 90,000 last.
You're going to have to write a really, really big check. I average 25 to 30. Yeah. You obviously are making trips back and forth to Lansing, and we've talked on this program before about how challenging that is for you and others who represent this area to get back here and be back there.
Yeah, it's a 500-mile round trip.
Yeah, and
or 5,000-mile round trip.
Yeah, so it's a big challenge. Somebody posited that maybe they would put GPS transponders in vehicles so that maybe you could, first of all, you wouldn't have to self-report. It would be automatic because some people might not be honest.
Imagine that.
Yeah. But secondly, maybe then you could bill monthly, something of that nature. You could have an online account. You could pay monthly, which would lessen it a bit. And of course, the price of gasoline would be reduced because there'd no longer be that tax on each gallon that you buy. So there would be a trade-off.
Yeah, I can anticipate that there's going to be a lot of shareholders in this discussion, and everything's going to be on the table.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what kind of a timetable we're looking at here? Because it's starting to get a little urgent.
Yeah, I think the governor's administration has expressed concern over that, and we'll have to look at the Transportation Committee, both in the House and Senate, and get a moving, because, you know, this needs to be discussed and worked out.
Yeah, and as one of those people who is paying a lot of this gas tax, as you are, I'd just as soon see some of those electric vehicles, nothing against them, but just as soon see them paying their fair share of the road use tax as well. Will we see toll roads downstate?
You know, that has been proposed as well. One way to pay for highways downstate, I don't think we'll see it up here, but downstate in southeast Michigan, you know, some of those roads are in horrible shape. And, you know, maybe a toll road between Ohio and Michigan, maybe between Michigan and Canada. It's hard to say. Maybe a another toll bridge, the high water, the Blue Bridge. Hard to say.
Yeah, I saw when they first started talking about that, I saw kind of a proposed map of highways that they thought would be profitable to do this with. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they don't include US 41 up the Keweenaw Peninsula.
No.
But I-94 across downstate, I-96 across downstate. I think it was I-75 up maybe to Gaylord. That far they were talking about, maybe US 131, Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids and such. When we go downstate, we're going to need to have one of those transponders, I guess, in our windshields. Like, I have one because I occasionally go to the Chicago area, and it doesn't slow you down, but it does tick off the dollars.
Yeah, and I have to do something with the Mackinac Bridge, too, as well. So
good to see, and I know this is something you worked on very hard, good to see progress on that Lake Linden trail.
Yes. Yeah, we're very, very happy. We just had another meeting a couple weeks ago at Twin Lakes at the fire hall about the trails, and I expected a few people. It was a packed house, standing room only. You know, the trail system in the UP up here in the Keweenaw is essential to our economy. We have to keep it open. We have to keep it maintained. And, you know, it took a while. I was as frustrated as everyone else, but the Lake Linden Trail is going to be finally ready to go.
Yeah, because the DNR was, they were quite ready to shut that one down. And it was you and others from this area who played a key role in making sure they understood how important that was, not just for a recreational purpose, but for economic purposes. This is big business now.
Oh, huge. It's people have no, you know, a lot of people have no idea how much ATV and snowmobile traffic we get up here. We're one of the premier locations in the United States outside of Alaska. So, you know, we get a lot of tourism, and a lot of people depend on that tourism for their livelihood. So we got to keep the trails open, and there's a huge demand.
There is. I talked with somebody in Baraga County not long ago, and I know that's not your concern, theoretically, at least at this point. They've been trying to expand the trail system in Baraga County and doing a really good job trying to push that forward. Yeah. And they said, you know, somebody said, I drove to Marquette, and he said it seemed like every vehicle that passed me coming towards the Copper Country was trailering some type of a vehicle behind it.
Yeah. And then the organization in Ottonagon County got that grant from the state to explore EV ATVs, electrical battery.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So we're going to see how they work out in the woods too. So I keep an open mind here, but I don't know how many batteries you're going to have to have charged to wheel all day long.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works. The one thing it would do is quiet it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it would be. I imagine it would be very quiet. That, you know, if they have the horsepower to get through some of these mud holes.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how this all works. I'm watching the Lont School District carefully because they have two electric school buses.
Oh.
Coming in. They got a grant for two electric school buses. Okay. And we're all interested to see how they perform at 10 below zero on a February morning.
Very interested to see.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, hoping for the best because if it, in fact, it works, it could save our school districts a lot of money. Diesel is expensive these days.
There is.
So your party has been kind of an adventure recently. As we record this on Friday morning, there's a faction of party leadership that is meeting that wants to take power away from Christina Caramo, who's the party chair. Caramo and her people are threatening to sue these people. There was a fist fight, for heaven's sake, that broke out at a high-level meeting at one of my favorite restaurants, the Doherty Hotel in Clare. Mm-hmm. When I was in college years ago at Central Michigan University, I used to go there because they had the best prime rib anywhere.
It's a great place.
And there are stories about, the headquarters has been closed. Mm-hmm. The coffers are basically empty at this point. We've got an election that's not all that far away coming up now. Is the party going to be able to right itself here?
I believe it will, Todd. You know, I look at myself as a UP Republican, and, you know, what's going on Seymour Street in Lansing at the headquarters, which is empty right now. You know, the downstate party is having some conflict in some of the counties, but I believe we're going to have a leadership conference here on Mackinac Island, and the theme of that conference is unity and work out our differences. So I'm an eternal optimist on this. I think that we can sit down and discuss everything and not have break out into a fist fight.
Is the party ready to put the previous presidential election behind them? Because there are still some activists, some of them at this point facing charges for trying to interfere with the election, grabbing voting machines allegedly after the election. A former co-chair of your party, Michonne Maddox, is one of those. Matt DiPerno, who was the candidate for Secretary of State and one of the candidates for party leadership recently, they're facing criminal charges at this point. Is the party ready to say, hey, it's time to put that behind us and time to look forward?
Well, that's a good question, Todd. You know, I think as far as the presidential race, it's way too early, and there's still a lot of discussion. I know the people for the January 6th were charged by our attorney general, and some people argue that that's overreach, and some people argue the other way. So I think time will tell, but like I said, I'm the eternal optimist. I think we're going to be able to sit down on Mackinac Island at the leadership conference and work out our differences and come together for 2024.
Normally, over the last few years, at this point in the interview, I would say, what is your legislative agenda for the next few months coming up? At this point, that becomes a little bit more difficult question because you may have an agenda, but there's no guarantee that it gets pushed forward.
No.
What do you hope to accomplish over the next few months? Legislature is going to be meeting through the fall and into perhaps late October, early November. What would you like to accomplish?
Well, Todd, you know, my focus from day one when I was elected back in 19, took office, was constituent services. And throughout the pandemic and everything else, we have helped a lot of people navigate unemployment, navigate some of the bureaucracy. And, you know, I can't say enough about my staff. I have a wonderful person working in the office in Lansing. She's not from the 110th District, but I've had people from the 110th District. And, you know, I have the former Representative Bo LaFay as my legislative director, and we are focusing on constituent services 100%. You know, if we get a chance to get some legislation passed, we'll take it. If, you know, but we're not going to bend over either. It's we're going to work on constituent services. I represent 90,000 people here in the 110 that are the furthest away from Lansing, and I want to be their voice.
Has it been a challenge learning the new parts of your district after the redistricting? You've got some areas that you didn't represent before. Mm-hmm. Has that been a challenge?
Well, it has been a challenge because I have to drive through Berger County to get to it.
I've got to say, I never quite saw the logic or the need for that. No. I know that there are numbers and formulas that had to be filled, and I think that's what played into it. But I certainly regret that Berriga County, where I live, has been sheared off from the copper country and grafted onto to Marquette. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
And particularly you in a final term, because you're term limited, to have to learn all of this new stuff at this point, it's challenging.
Well, I'm not term limited so much because of Proposition 1 passed.
Okay, so you get to run again?
I can run 3 more times.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I know that some of that some of that applied to people who were in office or did not apply to people in office. So
like
you,
Sarah Cambenzi and Representative Fay, they were term limited because nobody knew if Proposition 1 was going to pass. But now with Proposition 1 passed, I can run for 3 more terms. The Senator McBroom is term limited out because he'll have his 14 years in, but I can serve 3 more terms in the House.
All right. Well, thank you for correcting me on that.
Yeah,
thank
It's easy to get it all mixed up because you can serve, what they did is they changed it from 14 to 12 years. So now you can serve 6 terms in the House or 3 terms in the Senate.
Or a combination thereof.
Yes.
So if somebody needs to get in touch with you as we wrap things up here, Representative Greg Markkanen, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, we have a website under Greg Markkanen, Michigan House.gov. Our website or email is on there. And I don't have my phone number, but a lot of people do have my cell phone number throughout the Copper Country. So give us a call anytime, and we're there to help.
Greg, thank you for coming in. I appreciate the update.
Thank you, Todd.